Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. 3 years ago, believe it or not, I was at least as tall as this young lady down here.
5 years.
5 years? 5 years ago, I was at least as tall as she was, and now she has eclipsed me. I think I've shrank too. But you promised. What kind of promises have been broken to you, Izzy? Could it have been a promise when you were a child to go to Disneyland or someplace special? Did you break that? They did? Well, maybe a promise to buy you a new iPhone. What? A Lamborghini? Well, that would never happen for sure. I know that. When someone makes a promise, though, we expect them to keep it. And if they don't, we'll remind them, but you promised. Today, you are making several promises. You are promising to obey God and not to walk in the ways of this world. You are promising to use your talents for God's glory. Now, I know you have talents. We all know that Izzy has talents. Yes, indeed, and she should be using those talents for the glory of God. If you break any of these promises, God's people need to remind you, and that is the entire congregation, with loving words, and they come up to you and say, "But you promised." On the other hand, we have gathered here today to remember the many promises that God has given and has made to you. He promised you forgiveness and eternal life. He promised to give you daily bread. He promised that everything in this life will work out for your eternal good. What happens? What happens when it seems as if God isn't keeping his promises to you? Well, Scripture urges us to turn to God with this cry of consolation. But God, you promised, Lord, you promised. With that thought in mind, let's turn to our text. And our text is actually in 1 John chapter 2, verses 24 and 25. This also is your confirmation verse. See that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you also will remain in the Son and in the Father. And this is what he promised us. This is what he has promised you, eternal life. Now, John wrote this letter to give believers the assurance of salvation. John was there when Jesus was crucified. John was there when Jesus appeared to the disciples in the upper room. John was a witness to the resurrection of Jesus. He wanted his testimony to be heard that we too have the assurance of salvation. During his last 3 years of confirmation, your training has been mostly used the catechism for you. You have studied each of these six chief parts in depth, and you have used your Bible to memorize the books of the Bible and look up scriptures. Now, Joyce tells me that you had been an amazing student. From your confirmation examination by me after church service last Sunday, you have used these 3 years well, and I too am very proud of you. Today, you are making a promise to God to live according to his laws. So what happens should you break the promise you are making today to live according to God's unchanging law. God will not stand idly by as you show contempt for his decrees by living according to your standards and not his. Now, we shouldn't think that God is going to beat the living daylight out of you because of your sins, but God's intent when he allows hardship in your life due to our own sins is to guide us back to the fold, to his word and to his people, the congregation, so that we can fight off Satan, who only wants to destroy you. Do you understand that? He wants to destroy your faith and drag you down to hell. Satan will try to convince you for sure that God doesn't really care about you. He could give a hell of beans about Izzy. He will try to make you think that God is punishing you for your sins. So Izzy, when Satan would have you believe that God can never, ever forgive you your sins, do you know what you do? You look to the cross. You look to the cross of Jesus Christ. God allowed his son to die for you on that cross to forgive you all your sins. And that goes for everybody here today. Our God truly, truly loves you very, very much. Now, God has never promised that your life as a Christian will be easy. It's not going to be. But he has promised to be with you every step of the way during your life. Now, God is not like someone who changes the rules mid-game for their own benefit. For example, when he makes a promise to you, when God makes a promise to you, he doesn't say, oh, I was only kidding, or you shouldn't have taken me so literally. This is why when you're in the midst of a rough patch in your life, and they're going to happen, and are wondering where God is, you can cry out, but you promised, Lord, you promised. God has promised to work out everything for your eternal life. Everything for your eternal life. So today begins Holy Week. We observe today, of course, is Palm Sunday. This is the day that Jesus rode in to Jerusalem on a donkey, where the crowd cheered him with waving of the palms, and they laid their garments down on the road. On Thursday now, Monday, Thursday, or Holy Thursday, we celebrate the Lord's Last Supper. He shared with his disciples. Today, you will receive the Lord's Supper. In that supper, you will receive the true body and blood of Jesus Christ. It's not symbolic. They are really there. The true body and blood of Jesus Christ is in, with, and under the bread that you receive today. And on Friday, we see our Jesus hung on a cross. Can you see that? Jesus hung on a cross to take away all of our sins. And yes, on Easter Sunday, we see our Lord arise triumphantly. So, Izzy, today you are making promises. You are making promises to God. You are making promises to me. You are making promises to your family and promises to your church. And today, we celebrate God's promises to you. Already, when you were baptized a long time ago, God promised to make you his child, and he has. So we read your confirmation verse. See that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you also will remain in the Son and in the Father. And this is what he promised us. Today, this is what he has promised you, eternal life. Amen.